All right, tonight we are in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 again. This is, I think, our eighth or ninth message or lesson in Hebrews chapter 11. We started out with an introductory type message, giving us what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, and then we have been going through these different men's and ladies' lives of how the Lord used them because of their great faith. The Scripture says in verse number 2 that by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so we sort of built our messages upon verse number 2. And this verse gives us the understanding that there are those that had, because of their faith, God had give them a good report, and we're reading that report card God has given. We dealt with Enoch and Abel and Noah, and a few weeks ago we dealt with Abraham, and then last week we dealt with Sarah, and then this week we go back to Abraham, and as you see on your outline that we handed you, Abraham and his commitment. Certainly this second section of Abraham is a very, very important one, because not only of what he did, but because of what it is a type of. This offering of Isaac is a foreshadow. It is a type of the offering of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. And we'll be looking at some of the comparisons. The first lesson on Abraham, we dealt with his calling and how that he reacted to it by faith, and that he left Ur of the Chaldees. He followed the message that God gave him, and he left his country. He left his kinfolks, at least part of them, and then later on he was totally by himself when he and Lot separated themselves because of the conflict between them. And so the first thing that we noticed on Abraham was his calling. And God had given him message, or giving him the direction that he was to leave and go to a land that he knew not where he was going, and just to realize that God was guiding him and directing him. And then, as I guess you would call it, an extension of Abraham, we found last week concerning Sarah in her childbearing, the faith that she had. We noticed her lack of faith, and also Abraham's lack of faith. Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed at the thought that they would be able to have a child at the age they were. And they just in doubt, they just did not believe at first that God could do that. Abraham got ahead of the Lord. God had promised him years before that he would have a seed. And Abraham, his faith got weak and wavered. And he had a child by through Hagar, his handmaid of Ishmael, that wild man. But the promise that God gave to Abraham was a promised seed that he and Sarah would have. And of course, we saw that last week in what we studied concerning Sarah and her birthing of a child. The lesson tonight, we see that the child Isaac has grown. He's not a little baby. He's not really a little boy. He's a young man. And God comes to him, and we'll be reading those things. The Lord tells him to offer up his son. And you'll notice in the reading of the Scripture, his only son. The only son that God recognized from Abraham is this young man called Isaac. And so God tells him to offer his son. And among all these things that Abraham did by faith, there's nothing more remarkable and noteworthy than the offering of his sign or his son by the name of Isaac. This great commitment he had to be willing to offer his son is something that literally put him in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of those elders that obtained a good report. Not only did he obtain it in his leaving Ur of the Chaldees, he obtained it by his living and then his faith to do what God told him to do. I put down here, there in the introduction, Abraham puts us to shame. Really, when we talk about faith, I don't know of anybody that would have that type of faith in our day to offer his son and to believe that God would honor and God would bless and give victory. So tonight we want to look in these few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, a continuation of Abraham's faith. Let's look and let's just read these three verses, starting with verse number 17, Hebrews chapter number 11. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. This is the great place of faith in Abraham's life. And when he was tried, the word tried is an interesting word. It means to test for quality. It means to have something to be examined or to probe, to make sure it's what it ought to be. When we test out something, we are making sure that it is exactly what it says it is. We go buy a car, we test drive the car. We go buy pieces of furniture, we sit down in it to make sure that's what we want. And we're proving it, we're testing it. And so when Abraham was tried, when he was tried in this, it was a test for quality. Now, there's a lot of things that Abraham had been tested in. He had been tested about forsaking his homeland. I've got those seven things listed here in this first portion of our outline. He had a forsaking test. God told him to leave his homeland, to leave his family. And that was a test that God put upon him to see what Abraham would do. You see, every test that God puts us through is a test to prove us and to show him and also to show us and to show others how much we really believe God and how much we trust the Lord. So Abraham had a forsaking test in that God told him to leave his homeland and to go to a place where he would show him and a place that he would tell him where it was. God didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, leave. And so certainly that was a test. When he arrived in Canaan, there was a great famine there, and so I called that a famine test. And then we find that when the famine came, the Scripture tells us that he went to Egypt, and there he had a falsehood test. You remember the story that Abraham, when he got to Egypt, they looked upon Sarah and her fair complexion and her beauty, and Abraham told them that Sarah was his sister and not his wife, and God rebukes him for that. And so here he has another test in that he lies. He has a family test in regard to Lot. We've discussed that, how that they had their struggles and they had to part ways and go different directions. And that was a test upon Abraham and his fortitude and his life and for serving God. He had a test concerning fortune. The Bible tells us he turned down a great reward from the king of Sodom. And he said he would not take that. He would not have that. That's a test that showed us what Abraham was made of in his life to see where he would falter or if he did falter and see how that he was made and served God. And then this one here tonight, I believe, is the foremost test, where God told him to take his son, his only begotten son, and to offer him up. And so Abraham was not a stranger to testings and trials. He was not a stranger to those times that problems would arise in his life, and he always responded. Now, he didn't make the grade on all the tests. I've had some tests in my life I didn't make the grade. I've had some tests that when I was in school didn't make the grade I wanted to make. Well, some of them I made it because I didn't study, but I guess I got what I wanted. Sometimes we fail the test, and sometimes we work diligently and we don't do as good as we think we should or what we should have, and we fail. And we do not obtain, and certainly Abraham had those tests that he failed in. He failed in that famine test. He should not have gone to Egypt. He should have stayed there in the land of Canaan where God told him he would bless him. He failed in that test when he lied about Sarah. That was a blight upon Abraham for some time. And he failed at first in the fatherhood test. He got ahead of the Lord. We've talked about that. And so there are failures in Abraham's life. And as hard as it is to face the failures, I'm glad the Bible gives us the failures that Abraham had, because in seeing that, we understand that Abraham was a person, a human being, of like passions. He was made like us, and some things he excelled in, some things he failed. Some things he went ahead, some things he did great, and we have the record of that in the Scripture. But some things he certainly did not do as he should have. And those failures made it possible for him later to have success in his life and his work for the God of heaven. Now, there's always a reason for tests. When we are here at school, we have tests over information that we give, and the reason for that is to make sure that the students are learning. If we don't give tests, those boys back there and those girls and those over here, if we don't give tests, they will not study. And the problem is some of them don't study till the night before. Then they still don't, and sometimes they don't do like they should. They don't pass as they should. Somebody asked me the other day, said, we had a test scheduled for a day, and I didn't tell them till the day before. They said, why didn't you tell us earlier? I said, it wouldn't make any difference. You're going to study tonight. This is your time. You'll study. And so why tell you 2 or 3 days? And if I do that and don't tell you, then you come in on the next day, oh, we forgot we had a test. And so all of us have tests. We have that is for us to help us to succeed, to help us to increase. Abraham's test was to help him to increase in faith. And when we falter, when we don't do as good as we should, then that will bolster us up and we'll be determined, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to fail if that comes around to me again. And I'm sure in Abraham's life, if those tests had come to him again, he would have learned by his mistakes. He would have learned by what he did wrong and would not have gone that route before. That's why it's good for us to learn and study about history so we won't make the same mistakes again. But the problem is most people are not studying history at all, and we're making mistakes over and over the same way again and again. And so the reason for test in the life of a child of God is to increase our faith in Him. And especially when we falter, especially when we stumble, especially when we don't make the grade, it's to help us to look at our life and to examine ourselves. The New Testament tells us that we are to examine our lives, to examine ourselves and see where we are in the faith, and then even to see if we're in the faith. And so there's nothing wrong with examination. There's nothing wrong with tests. It is to help us to increase our faith and to improve our service. A dedicated Christian, a dedicated child of God, as we put here Abraham, his commitment. If a person is committed to something, that means he wants to improve and do the best that he can and the job that he's doing. That's commitment. One of the real weaknesses of the 21st century church has been this lack of commitment, of giving of ourselves and giving of our time. We'll serve God if it's convenient. We'll serve God if everything's in order. We'll serve God if everybody's well. We'll serve God if everything's okay. But you let the first little problem come, then we begin to back up. And the commitment is not there. Well, I believe when we study Abraham's life, we're going to understand he was committed. He was committed even to the death of his son. And so when we go out and have a task to do and a job to perform, our tests help us to increase our faith, increase our knowledge, and it helps us to improve our service unto the Lord. The farther we go in life, the more difficult the tests become. Now, you teenagers tonight, you could go into, well, hopefully, you could go in third and fourth grade and take their math test. You could pass it. As I said, hopefully. Because you've gone through that and you have gone past that and you are in something else different. And so somebody said, boy, the tests are harder than they used to be. But when you was a first grader and a second grader, those tests were hard. Those tests were something that had to be worked on, and the spelling words and all those things had to, you had to study them. And so the farther we go in our school of learning, the more difficult the test will become. And the same is, it's the same in our spiritual life. The farther we go with the Lord, the more difficulty sometimes the tests that will come to us and the difficulties that will arise. James Murphy, a writer of days gone by, said that this is a grand crisis in Abraham's life. This is the greatest crisis that Abraham has faced up to this time. You can take all these other tests. Nothing compares to this one. The test of leaving his family, that was bad, and I'm sure it was a struggle, but it's not like this one. The test of famine, that was a hard time, but it's not like this test. And so as he goes on with the Lord, and as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord will test us in different manners, in different ways. Really a compliment to Abraham that God would give him a hard test that showed that he was ready. It showed that Abraham had obtained the position that the Lord would do these things in his life. And the toughest tests are reserved for tough saints, for people that love God, people that stand for the Lord. Now, if we don't want any tests, then we just don't do anything. If we're not going to be in busy business for the Lord, then he's not going to test us too much, because he already knows what we're made of. He knows we're not going to do. He knows we're not going to perform. And so instead of testing us, he rebukes us. It's a compliment to Abraham, and it's a compliment to every Christian when God puts us in a position that he tries us, he tests us, and he gives to us the ability and the opportunity to excel or to exceed what people might think. There is a quality of devotion here of his faith. Verse number 11, the Bible says, he offered up Isaac. That's quality. That is something that demonstrates the worship of the Lord. It is a demonstration of the things that God has put before him. In Old Testament times, when men worshiped God, they always built an altar and they always had a sacrifice. You can read in the books of the Old Testament, when they worshiped the Lord, they had always a sacrifice involved. It always involved an altar. And so Abraham, now he has been brought to this place of decision of what am I going to do with the test that God has put before me? Am I going to run from it and say I can't do it? Or am I going to trust God? When it seemed as though everything was in contradiction of what the Lord had told him, God says now, offer up your son. Let's turn back to the book of Genesis just for a moment, chapter number 22. This is the account of the, in the Old Testament, of the offering up of Isaac. Genesis chapter number 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now the word there, tempt, is also a word for tried. It's a testing. God tempts no man to do evil, but he does try us. And so we find here that he tempts Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Now that's a good point for Abraham. Every time God called his name, Abraham said, I'm here. He was available. Now he doesn't know what the Lord is going to propose to him. But Abraham hears the Lord speak to him. He says, behold, here I am. And he said, God is doing the speaking now, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, there's a great distance that Abraham has to travel to get to this place. I love this passage of Scripture here where it talks about the place. There was a particular place that God had for Abraham to offer his son. It wasn't some haphazard place. It wasn't just something that Abraham would say, well, this looks like a good place. I believe we'll stop here. No, God was directing him. God was giving him the ordered steps of his life. And the Bible says here on the third day. So we know they've traveled 3 days. And so it's a far distance that they have traveled. And still, it's afar off. So I don't know the distance, I don't know how many more days it took, I don't know how much more time it took, but they had traveled 3 days and Abraham saw the place afar off. God showed him, God gave him understanding of where the place was. And so we find that God says, "You rise up," and he goes to the place, he sees the place, and now he looks upon it. Abraham said in verse 5, "Unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." There's that word, worship. In the Old Testament, when they worshiped, they had a sacrifice. They understood that. And so he tells those that are traveling with him, abide here, and I and the lad, we're going to go yonder, way over there, still a far distance off, and we're going to worship, and we're going to come again to you. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and there they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac understood that the lamb had to be offered. Thank God for the lamb that was offered. Of course, that's a picture, again, a type, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "Father, we're going to that place you have spotted to us, and we're on our way, and we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where is the offering? Where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, in verse 9, and they came to the place. God says, "I have a place for you to go." Abraham saw the place, and they got to the place. There is commitment. What God told him, Abraham did. The distance, that was 3 days' journey, and never how much farther it was. Isaac was a young man that understood the offering. He understood worship, and he said, "Father, we've got everything except the lamb." What he really said is, "We've got everything except the blood." You know, there's a lot of folks tonight that have everything except the blood. They've got everything in their worship. They've got everything in their services. They've got everything in their church. They've got all the facilities and all the things that go along with serving God, but they don't have the blood. And without the blood, the Bible says there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. So Abraham comes and travels that distance, and he has a devotion of worship. The Bible says he offered Isaac. Worship is not without offering. The size of Abraham's offering was enormous. It was great. Abraham's prize possession. Here God says, "I want you to offer your only son. Kill your son. Offer your son. Put him on the block." I believe we can understand why the Bible says, by faith, Abraham. He moved at the call and the command of God because his priority was to do what God told him to do. Genesis 22:3, that verse we read just a moment ago, tells us that God had spoken to him one day. And the next day, early in the morning, Abraham didn't put it off. Abraham didn't sit around and moan, mope, and groan like we would if we have some hard thing that God asked us to do. Abraham just got up early and he went about what God told him to do. God was before everything else. Whatever Abraham had planned for that day, it was off the book. Whatever Abraham had planned for the next day, it didn't matter. And the next day, and the next day. If it took them 3 days to get there, and it's still far off, and let's say they had another day, just supposing, if it took them 4 days to get there, it took them 4 days to get back. And so Abraham wiped his calendar clean and said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It doesn't matter what I've got planned. And by the way, Abraham was a very important man. Abraham was a very busy man. Abraham was a businessman. Abraham was multiplying and his family was growing, and he was one of the richest men of his day. And everything that Abraham had planned took second place to what God had for him to do. And he just cleared it out and said, well, let's go. He takes those with him, and when he sees the place, here we see a great statement by Abraham even before we come to the offering. What does he tell those men? Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Where's his faith come in? And then the next words he says, and come again. I and the lad are going to go worship, and I and the lad are going to come again. Now Abraham knew that he's going to offer Isaac, but he's saying by faith, God's going to handle it. God's going to take care of it. I trust the Lord. I believe God. And so we're going to come again. There's a number four here, the perplexity of his faith. Abraham had the promise in Isaac. Now, if Isaac had been a man that had already had children, it wouldn't have been so perplexing to Abraham. Now, here's a young man that has not been married, is not married, and yet the promise of God is in Isaac that his seed was multiplied. And so the perplexion in Abraham's thought pattern, I'm sure, had to be, well, God says that we're going to have a seed, and now God says I'm going to kill the seed. How can we put the two together? If I offer up Isaac, I lose the promise. If I offer Isaac, my son, there's no grandsons and granddaughters. The perplexion is there. But it just comes down to true faith. It comes down to him believing God. True faith, I put this statement, true faith will submit to God and trust God's wisdom to work out the apparent contradictions. You see, God already knew what was going to take place. Abraham didn't know, but by faith he said, we're going to come back. And faith that is real will submit to God's plan even though we can't explain it. Even though we can't figure it out, we say, this is God's working in my life, and I'm going to do it. And so faith that is true will submit to God and will trust God's wisdom to work out those things that seem to be contradictions. Look at verse number 19 in our text here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 19. I think this is a New Testament stating of what he told those men when he said, we'll come again. In verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, accounting. Now we know what the word accounting, it means he reckoned, he knew, he accounted, accounting that that God was able to raise him up. Abraham believed in his heart that if God had promised him the seed would come through Isaac. And now God has said, offer your son. Abraham believed God so much. And the verse here in Hebrews said that he believed that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's great faith. No wonder Abraham is listed here in the hall of faith. No wonder he has given a huge spot of the text here in chapter 11, because his faith was abundant and the power of it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 12 says, wherefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and the sand by the seashore, innumerable. Abraham knew that God could raise the dead because he had done it in his body. He was already physically unable. According to the process of time, he and Sarah were unable to have children, but God raised up that dead and made them live and give them life. And they had a son by Isaac. And so Abraham said, if God can do that, it's a minor thing for God to take care of this. And so the Scripture says that Abraham believed that God was able. I have those three words underlined in my Bible. God was able. Not only was God able, but I'm glad tonight God is able. It's present tense. Now, He will not ask us, in this New Testament economy, He will not ask us to do that, but He might ask us to offer ourselves unto the Lord. It might not be that we die, but it might be we have to die to self. It might not that we lay ourselves on an altar to be burned with fire and the wood under us, but it may be that we would offer ourselves on the altar of God to do His will and to never think again about my plans or my pleasures or what I desire. So God told Abraham knew that he was able. Look back into Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger at it. He went at it. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Great faith. He didn't stagger. He just went ahead. Back in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, of course, the answer is no. And that was when the announcement was made that they were going to have a child. Is anything too hard for God? Sarah had laughed, and God came to her and said, "What are you laughing at? Is it too hard for me to do that?" And so Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He realized the power of faith that God was able to raise him up. Verse 19 there, Hebrews 11 says, "From whence also he received him in a figure." Now, that word figure, I've tried to give you some information here on that I hope will be helpful. He received him in a figure. The word figure is translated from the Greek word paraboli. And that's where we get the word parable or illustration. This word figure is found 50 times in the New Testament, or the word paraboli. It's found 50 times in the New Testament. 48 are in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the Synoptics. They have much of the same stories. 48 times are found in that, and only two other times in the book of Hebrews. He received him in a figure. It's translated parable or parables in the Gospel and figure in Hebrews. The word means a placing beside with a view of comparison. A parable is what? Earthly story, heavenly meaning. Place it side by side to get a comparison. That's what a parable is. Abraham received this in a parable or in a figure. Placed side by side, not only did he see his son, but I believe he saw the greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he see his son offered, and it's interesting that the New Testament tells us here in verse 7 that this son, Isaac, is his only begotten son. That word begotten means unique. Nobody else like him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now there's many sons of God, there's many daughters, there's many in the family of God, but there's only one unique son of God. His name's Jesus. And so the type and the figure is here that Abraham received him in a parable or in a figure that he saw the end result, that one day God would send his son and God would offer him up and that God would lay his life down and God would raise him up. In the mind of Abraham, Isaac was just as good as dead. But he believed God would raise him up if that took place. As Abraham was about to slay Isaac, we know the story. The angel of the Lord stayed his hand. He called out for him to stop. And there we have the great doctrine of substitution. A ram caught in a thicket. That ram became the substitution for Isaac. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ became the substitution for us. He's my substitute. And there we find the provision as Abraham was about to do the task that was before him. God stayed his hand and God was able to raise Isaac up from the dead. And Abraham said, now I know Abraham, I know he will do and I know he will serve. His only begotten son. Abraham looks and he sees the day of the Lord. He sees the day of Christ, our substitute. Great story. The proof is that Abraham showed complete subjection to God's sovereign will. We should not be afraid of the word sovereign. Many Baptists are scared to death of that word. If I use it in a group of preachers, they'll look at me strangely because that gives them a preconceived idea that they think they know what I believe about certain things. But we should never be afraid that God is sovereign. That means He, as we said this morning, He's in control. And so Abraham just believed God and he was under the subjection of God and the will of the Lord. Look at Genesis 22. And verse number 12, Genesis 22, verse 12, said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. Now notice here's the exclamation narrative that God puts upon Abraham. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham was in complete subjection to the will of God. And God says, now I know that you will do what I tell you to do. A test was great. Abraham didn't falter. He did not waver. He did not stop. And that is one of the greatest pictures in the Old Testament, pointer to the cross of Calvary. When God told Abraham to go to one of the hills of Moriah. You have to remember now, this is a long time before the civilized world came to that land. And God told him, said, you go to one of the places, one of the mountains of Moriah, and I'll show you the place. Now, I believe with all my heart, and I have looked and studied and read others, and I believe with all my heart that that mountain of Moriah, if you look at the land, the geography, and look at where it is and where it's located. The city of Jerusalem now is on one of the hills of Moriah. That's where Abraham offered his son. One of the greatest sermons I remember Brother Solomon ever preaching was he preached behind this pulpit of the God of Moriah. And there, upon that hill of Moriah, Isaac was offered. And some thousands of years later, the greater son, Jesus Christ, I believe was offered on that hill. Not called Moriah now, called Calvary, Golgotha. Isaac was the offering. Abraham was the father. Abraham was faithful. Isaac, in type, was offered. God is our Father. He sent His Son. God put him in this world. He was faithful. And he was offered. And when it was all said and done, 3 days and three nights later, Jesus Christ came forth victorious, alive forevermore. Abraham, by faith, one of the greatest characters of all the Old Testament concerning his faith to his God. And the proof of it, he just believed God. Under subjection and said, Lord, here I am. What do you have for me? What's your message for me? Well, what do you want me to do? He'd been there before. God said, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, leave. Now he says, leave again, but leave with your son and offer him on one of those hills or those mountains that I show you. And I believe that that was and did become the hill called Calvary. May God bless His Word and bless the reading of it and the study of it tonight. And may it thrill our hearts to know that if Abraham can have faith, I can have faith. May we offer ourselves and say, God, whatever you want for me, I know, even though it contradicts some other things that I think about, I know you can work it out. Boy, God is a problem solver. Whatever problem we think is there, He can handle it. He can take care of it, because He is able. Let's stand together tonight and